She said, "I don't think so. I don't recognize anything." So we turned around and finally found you. Here we are. It's good to be with you again. It's certainly a pleasure to be with Donnie and Joan again. We, as he indicated, we're dear friends and have been a long time. But that's not what we came to talk about today. Glad to have all these young people here with us in the audience. And I hope that the things that I have to say will be of some interest to all of you, and especially to them. If you have your Bibles, open them to the fourth chapter of Philippians. And we're going to begin right there. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, Paul said, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were careful, not that you lacked opportunity," he said, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to suffer need. He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." In this setting, Paul admonishes the church at Philippi to remember what they had learned from him. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, some things that we can learn from Paul from the Philippian letter. He said, whether you heard it from me when I preached among you, or whether I wrote it to you, or whether you saw it in the way I lived, the example I set before you, whatever you learn from me, he said, I want you to do. So that's what we want to talk about this morning, things we can learn from Paul so we can do them ourselves. And the first thing I suggest to you is that Paul had learned the secret of how to forget. You say, well, what's so important about that? Well, there's some things we ought to remember, you know. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember that one? Luke 17, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. In the book of Jude, remember the words of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told Peter to put the brethren in remembrance. Paul told Timothy that too. Put the brethren in remembrance of certain things. So there's some things we ought to remember. But there's some things we ought to forget. And Paul had learned that. In fact, back in the third chapter, Paul talked about his career among the Jews before he became a Christian. He talked about his pedigree. He said, if anybody has a right to boast at his ancestry, among the Jews, I do. He said, verse 5, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was an honored tribe. You remember when the kingdom divided after Solomon died, the kingdoms of Judah and Benjamin stayed together and comprised the southern kingdom. The kingdom of Judah it was called. But Jerusalem was actually located in the territory that belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. And so he was of an honored tribe among the Jewish people. He said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If there ever was a Hebrew, I'm one of them, he said. And then he said, touching the law, a Pharisee. That was the sect of the Jews that was the most strict about observing the law. So he said, if anybody could boast about his ancestry, I'm the man. I could do that. Concerning zeal, he said, persecuting the church. I demonstrated my zeal for the law by my persecution of the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But then he said in verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. These were things in his past. He could have gloried in all of that. He was a rising star in the ranks of Judaism. He was destined for leadership among them when he was converted to Christ. And so he put all that behind him. And then you drop down into the passage in verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. and pressing, he said, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later here. But Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. When life got hard for Paul, it would have been easy for him to remind the brethren of how much he had to give up to be a Christian. How much he had done, what he had forfeited in his life in order that he might serve Christ and be a blessing to the brethren. But he said he'd learned how to forget those things. Paul not only had learned to forget that, Paul had learned how to forget his injuries. Sometimes we have trouble with that. Somebody does us wrong and we can't get over it. It festers. And Paul said that was not the case with him. In fact, in the first chapter of Philippians, we're still talking about things we can learn from Paul from Philippians. In the first chapter, he talked about some of the brethren. Down in verse 14, he said, some of the brethren had grown confident and bolder in their preaching of the gospel there in Rome because of Paul's bonds. Paul wrote this letter while he was a prisoner. And yet he was given certain privileges as a prisoner. And Paul's name was on the lips of brethren all in Rome in that area. And because of all of that, he said some of them had been emboldened to be more active in preaching the gospel. But they didn't all do it from the right motive. He said there were some who preached Christ of envy and strife, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. I don't know if I understand this completely, but it seems to me like what's happening here was that these brethren grew weary of the brethren always talking about Brother Paul. Paul, 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 all the time Paul. And here they were preaching too. And so they got bolder and bolder in their preaching. And because of that, it could have contributed very much so to Paul, to Paul's having greater problems with the authorities as a prisoner. But he said, I'll tell you one thing, they're preaching Christ. And I rejoice in that. Christ is preached, and I rejoice. Now, this passage has been misused a lot of times by people to argue that it doesn't make any difference about what doctrine is preached as long as you're talking about Christ. Paul would never have endorsed error. He would never have rejoiced that anybody preached error to anyone for any reason. That was not what he said. He gave them credit for preaching the truth. The problem was their motive. Their motive was to get attention to themselves. Their motive was wrong. What they preached was right, but their motive in doing it was wrong. And so Paul said, I can forget that. If it injures me, if it causes those who have put me in prison to make life harder for me, I can handle that because the truth is preached and I'm glad that it is. That's a big spirit, isn't it? I wonder how many of us could handle things like that in the same way Paul did. Paul knew how to forget his injuries. He didn't allow these to turn him wrong side out and allow these things to fester and cause him to become immobile in service of the Lord. Paul had learned how to forget something else, though. Paul had learned how to forget his success. You know, Paul was a pretty successful preacher. He went to places where there wasn't a congregation that preached a while and left a multitude of Christians. That's a pretty good record, don't you think? He went to Thessalonica. When he got there, he preached about he was opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead. And it said some of the, in Acts 17th chapter, down in verses 4 and 5, it said that some of the Jews believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. He was pretty successful. And when he left Thessalonica, even though he had to leave under pressure because of persecution that arose, he left a large, active, flourishing congregation of the Lord's people. When he got to Corinth, he was pretty discouraged. He'd just come from Athens, given to idolatry, and he was discouraged there. And he got to Corinth, and he saw how wicked the people there were. And the Lord said, Paul, I have much people in this city. You stay put. You've got work to do. He stayed a year and a half and left a large congregation of the Lord's people there. Paul was a successful preacher of the gospel. And he didn't let it go to his head. He did not allow that to cause him to become boastful or arrogant or haughty. He said when he wrote to the Corinthians, when some of the brethren were saying, I'm of Paul, and others said, well, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and some even said, I'm of Christ. Paul said, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers, that word means servants, ministers by whom you believed. He said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul was a seed planter, and Apollos was a water boy. They were famous preachers, but that's what their task really was. He was comfortable with himself. He knew who he was and what he was and what his business was. And he did not allow that to go to his head and cause him to be useless in the kingdom of God. He knew how to forget his success. If you have success in the service of God, thank God for it and go on and do some more work for the Lord. But Paul had learned another secret I think we can learn from the Philippian letter. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am. Remember, we read that a while ago in verse chapter 4. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Have you learned that? How to be content. When I was a teenager, I thought I'd never get old enough to get a driver's license. Or old enough to vote. Or old enough to be my own man and make my own decisions and go where I wanted to when I wanted to and come home when I got good and ready. And then I got a little bit older and found out that when you get that old, you have to start paying taxes. Life changes. Your perspective changes. But Paul had learned how to be content. What's amazing about that is that when Paul wrote this, he was a prisoner. In fact, he had been a prisoner for nearly 5 years before this. By the time he left Rome, after this first imprisonment, he had been arrested and they'd taken him down to Caesarea to protect him. And he stayed there for a couple of years. He stayed there for a change of the guards from Felix to Festus. And the King Agrippa came, I remember, and he spoke before him. And finally he appealed his case to Caesar, and they sent him to Rome. It took a while to get to Rome. They had a shipwreck. They had to spend the winter on an island, and finally they got to Rome. And the last chapter of the book of Acts says that he dwelt for 2 whole years in his own hired house in Rome. He was allowed some latitude. He was in bonds. He talked about his bonds or his chains even during this period of time. He was chained to a guard. They'd come on duty and work their shift, and then another guard would come, and they'd unshackle him from one guard and shackle him to another one. And that went on. This letter was written after he had been a prisoner for some time and was still a prisoner when he said this. It's amazing to me that I think I've got 17 or 18 commentaries in my library on the book of Philippians. And every last one of them described it as the epistle of joy. Isn't that amazing? The epistle of joy written by a man in prison. He had learned how to accept what he couldn't change. You know, there are some things in life you can change for the better, and we ought to do that. But there are some things we cannot change. There are sicknesses that happen to us, and we'd rather not have them, but we have them, and we have to deal with them. Accidents occur, and our life is turned upside down, and the lives of those around us are. And so we can't change it. What do you do with it? You go in the military service, and they send you to the backside of the world. And you're under orders, and you can't change that. We have people who marry, and their husband's job move them off to some part of the country, far away from mama and familiar circumstances at home, and they forget where home really is. All of my life, I've met people in different places that keep talking about going back home. And you know what I've decided about that? Home is where you live. That's where home is. You grew up in Tennessee? Fine. Your job moves you to Colorado? And that's where you live? That's where home is. Where you are. You go off to college? You're homesick? It'll help you if you remember that home right then is where you live, where you are. Paul was a prisoner. He couldn't change it. No way he could change it. But he said, I've learned how to be content. And he said, I know how to be full and know how to be hungry. Paul, you know, Paul was not always a poor preacher. He sacrificed for the cause and he made tents sometimes to help support himself. And that's honorable to do that. But Paul was sometimes well supported. He talked about Epaphroditus and others bringing supplies to him and supplying all of his need. And he said, I know how to be full. I know how to abound. I know how to be abased, but I know how to abound. And I know how to be full as well as sometimes he was hungry, but sometimes he was full. And he had it both ways. But whichever way it was, he said, I've learned how to be content. Traveled around over the country in meetings for a good number of years. We meet people, especially around military bases, that are miserable. They've been assigned to a place where they don't want to be. I was in a meeting one time down at Gulfport, Mississippi. And a good many of the members of the church were stationed over at Biloxi at the air base over there. And I was in the homes of several of them. Some of them lived on the base and some of them near the base. Their homes were